just a little bit. There's a little article by Charles Marvin that I wanted to read, just a brief part of it here. And it says, "Oh yes, the anchor. It doesn't make the ship look racy and streamlined. It doesn't make it go faster, nor does it add to the stature of the crew or the captain. One sunny day, however, the USS Ajax was proceeding out of the channel in San Diego toward the open sea when the unthinkable happened. The ship suddenly lost all propulsion, electrical, and navigational power. Worse yet, the ship's rudders had just been turned to a position that sent it heading for the fuel piers. The ship's captain, boatswain's mate, quickly ordered an emergency drop of port and starboard anchors. The crew stared helplessly at the rapidly approaching danger. Just in time, the anchors grabbed bottom, and they were saved from certain death." Scriptures remind us that the good news in Christ serves as an anchor of hope. Bad things happen every day. We are regularly confronted with evil in the form of violence, crime, infidelity, drug and alcohol addiction, death and destruction. There seems to be no end to the horror people visit on others and themselves. With people outside our churches headed for destruction, we must be ready to provide them an anchor of hope for their souls. Not fancy, not noticeable, but effective ministry that meets the everyday needs of common people. How in the world can you call that unimportant? And then the anchor holds. You and I are the anchors through Jesus Christ, but we want to talk a little bit about it today, just about the anchor. If you'd look with me to Acts, the 27th chapter, the 13th verse, and we'll read some scripture there. Might read all the way through the 26th verse and talk about it just a little bit. Acts 27, verse 13. And we know that Apostle Paul was headed to Rome. He had appealed to Caesar, and they were taking him there for trial. But he's on a ship that shouldn't have been on the sea. Do you ever think about that? He was on a ship that shouldn't have been sailing. It was the wrong time of the year. They knew better than to be there, but it was expedient. That captain wanted to get his load to Rome. Because if he got his load to Rome, not just talking about Apostle Paul, but his wares, everything he had on there, they were headed to ports of call to deliver those goods to make money. They shouldn't have been there. But they had Apostle Paul on there. And it said this, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Have you ever been in a situation and there wasn't nothing you could do except just let it drive? Let it go. You couldn't stop it. You couldn't change course. You just had to let it go. And here they're in a situation. They thought they had good sailing weather. But now all of a sudden there's a contrary wind that's blowing fierce. Have you ever felt that way? Life was going good. Everything was going your way. Didn't seem like anything could stop you. Nothing would change course. And then all of a sudden, life changed. The world around you crumbled. You were tossed by the winds of life, the waves of life, and you've been tossed to and fro and driven. And there's no way to stop. Well, that's what happened to them. It says, "In running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day lightened the ship. There's something to think about right there. It said, when we, the next day, being exceedingly tossed. Have you ever been to that point? You're being driven, and now you're exceedingly tossed. It doesn't look like there's anything can change nothing. And it said they begin to lighten the load. How do you lighten a load? Huh? I lay down and I leave it. I take it to an altar of prayer and I lighten the load. Say, Lord, you're going to have to take some of this. I don't need all of it. I'm already being driven. I'm out of control, but I'm going to give it to you. Have you ever been there? And so they begin to lighten the load. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I don't know who it is that's in here today, this afternoon, this small group of people, but somebody's got to be identifying with this. Seems like nothing's going right, and you're just being tossed and driven, and you've lightened the load, and you're still not getting where you've undergirded the ship. You've done everything you know to do to stay afloat. You've done everything you know to do to, and you've put your faith in God, and you've put your faith in Jesus, and it just seems like nothing's the better. And you've come to a place of no hope. They said, we've gave up hope that anybody should be saved. All of their hope was taken away. Ain't that just like the devil? You know, when you're driven like that, it's the devil. It's his job to do all this stuff. He's driving you crazy. He's taking you on a trip you don't want to go on. And is probably nothing you've done to cause it. But yet here you are. You found yourself in that, and you can just give up hope. It seems like it's been taken away from you. Nothing's changing. Your course has not been altered. You can't slow down the ship. You're taking on water. You're being tossed by the tempest. And it's just, there's no hope. But I want to tell you today, there's hope. There's still hope. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, now where do you think Paul was at during that long abstinence? I think he was in the bow of the boat, bowed down. I think he was praying and seeking God. He was lightening the load in a way that they didn't know how to lighten the load. He was girding up the ship in a way that they didn't know how to gird up the ship. He was setting a course and setting the sails on a course that the world didn't know how to set the course. But he was setting a course through the almighty hand of God, and he was getting ready to change the course of their life because he sought God. May I suggest to us today that we seek God. When you're being tossed around and it seems like there's no hope, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. And he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. He had already told them not to leave that port. He'd already warned them that much harm would come to them if they left the port. But they were the mariners. He wasn't. He was just a preacher and a tent maker. But they thought they knew better. He wasn't presuming to know more about sailing than they did, but he was presuming to know more about the will of God and the voice of God than they would ever know in their lifetime. He knew how to hear from God, and God had said, don't sail. Come on now. Sometimes we need to slow down and listen to the man or woman of God and listen to the word of God that says thus and so on, and stop trying to do it all on our own and all by ourselves. God gives and places people in your life to help you, and places and gives you people in your life to help direct your path, and gives his word to direct. We like to say that God's word is a light unto my path and a whatever, light into my path and a lamp unto my feet, and it is, and we should, but God also places people, leaders in your life to help show you the way. But they didn't want to listen to this leader who was listening to his leader, and they made a mistake. But he said this in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. They're being tossed. They hadn't seen the preacher for a long time, but he had been seeking God. Now he's on top of the boat and said, I want you to do, you should have listened to me, but here, I want to tell you something else. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Have you ever been that way? I know you have. I've went to people before. I've went to them to try to help them and not just be there for them when they're going through a trial and a situation. And I say, well, just cheer up everything. And they just look at you like, what is wrong with you? Ye are crazy, preacher. No, I'm not. Cheer up. Joy comes in the morning when the dark gives way to the light. Haven't you heard? All God's people walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, there's coming a dawn. There's coming a dawn. And so we've tried. So he said, you should listen to me, but now I got something else to say. Be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life, but you're going to lose the ship. That's what he told them. Everybody's going to live, but you're going to lose the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. Isn't that something? God said, this is going to happen. Well, folks, you're going through it. You may be struggling today, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You're not going to lose your life over this. Those that are in it with you, they're going to be safe too. You might lose a few things, and you might suffer some loss, but you're not going to lose your spiritual life. You're not going to lose those that are near and dear to you. Hang in there. And he says in chapter 27, verses 29 through 31, to skip down to there, it said, then fearing, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Have you ever been to that place? You'd throwed your anchor, you've trusted in Christ, and you'd put the anchor down, said, God, in thee I'm going to trust, and I'm going to put my hope, my faith, and everything I know in you, and you've tossed the anchor, but then you're still wishing for the daylight, still wishing for the dawn. Just, Lord, get me out of this. Have you ever been there? I have. Paul says, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. There's a good lesson for us right there. Too many times, too many people, when the going gets tough, it looks like the ship's about to sink. And this ship was sinking. Don't get me wrong. It was going to be busted up. God had already promised them there'd be no life lost, only the goods in the ship. But we abandoned ship. And this is a time, although they were about to be crushed against the rocks, and the ship was going to be broken up, God told Paul to tell them, stay in the ship. It's going to be busted up, but stay in it until it's busted up and you'll live. We jump ship. I want to say to you today, the anchor holds. Stay in the ship. You're going to be all right. You see, we're going to have spiritual trials, but we're going to have spiritual support in that time of trial. The anchor is secure. We are anchored in Jesus. And we're secure today. Don't get out of the ship. Don't get out of the ship. Except they abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. Look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and the 19th verse. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us, entered even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God has not changed. He's not changed his oath to us. He has given us a greater oath, a confirmation of that oath. He's going to show us promise. He's going to keep us safe, but you must abide in the ship. If you go back to Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, it says this, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession, our profession. We have a high priest that has entered into the heavenlies. He has passed into the throne of God, and he is there making intercession for you and I. Hold fast to your profession. Hold fast to the anchor, Jesus. He's going to make it. You're going to make it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. He says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You understand what the Bible just said? He was tempted. He went through everything. He went through trials and tribulations. His boat was tossed. The waves crashed against him. He's tempted in everything and every way that we have been tempted. Everything we went through, he went through in different forms and fashions, maybe even worse. We don't know exactly what all he went through when he was out there in that wilderness. He went through a great trying out there. The Bible says now he is in the heavenlies. He is there making intercession for you and us, for you and us, for you and I. And he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He cares about us. He is our great high priest. He is our anchor today. Hold fast your profession of faith. And don't give up. And it says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, he sympathizes with our weaknesses. We sometimes tell people to be strong, and oftentimes we criticize those that we consider weaklings or people who give in too easy or give up on God too easy. But the Word of God says that Jesus sympathizes with your weaknesses. That ought to make you shout. To think that I can go through some things and I can doubt God and I can doubt myself and I can wonder whether I'm going to make it or not. And Jesus is up there saying, you can do it. I'm going to help and I'm not going to criticize you. I'm going to extend my hand of mercy. We criticize people. We may not do it openly, but boy, behind closed doors among ourselves sometimes, we'll say, I can't believe them people can't live for God any better than that. Well, maybe you don't know what they're going through. You don't know their weaknesses. You don't know their trials. You don't know their temptation. You don't know their background. You don't know what they've suffered when they was a child that's affected them as an adult. And we need to take that into consideration because Jesus does. That don't justify sin. Don't make get me wrong. But there's times we're too quick to jump on that bandwagon of criticism. Well, instead, we ought to say, come on, let me help you into the throne room of grace to receive your help in your time of infirmity because Jesus cares for you and and your anchor holds. Don't give up. He sympathizes so we can confidently approach the throne of grace, knowing our prayers and petitions are welcomed And not only are they welcome, they are desired by the Heavenly Father. Not only are they welcomed and desired by our Heavenly Father from His throne, because of our prayer and because of our need will flow His love, His grace, His help, His mercy, His forgiveness, and He'll pour out His spiritual power. He'll give you the Holy Ghost. He'll do everything in His power so that you, to help you and ensure that you are successful. He'll do that. We have a great high priest. He's our anchor today. Boy, I don't know about you. I love him. And one of the greatest blessings of salvation is the fact that we have this high priest, Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest blessings. It opened, and because of that, he's seated in the heavenlies. It opens the way for you and I to approach the throne of grace boldly. We can come right in there and always seek Him for help in every single need. Doesn't matter what it is today. You can seek Him for every need. Our great high priest. I have to seek Him every now and again. Well, just every day. Maybe several times every day. And he know, I've never approached God that God said, I'm busy. He's never made me feel like I was intruding or bothering Him. Not one time. Fact is, if I approach Him with a humble heart and sincerity, He'll touch me. I'll feel Him touch my spirit. And I can leave that prayer time knowing that everything's going to be all right. Yeah, I may walk out of the prayer closet and walk right back into the same situation, but I know it's going to be all right. The anchor holds. He's touched by us. You see, to be a high priest, Jesus had to be sympathetic, gentle, and patient. You and I sometimes, at times, are sympathetic. Depending on who it is, we're gentle. And once again, depending on who it is, we might be patient. But oftentimes that patience wears thin. But His never does. His never does. And also because to be a high priest, he had to be appointed by God. And he was appointed by God to be our great high priest. Aren't you glad for that? Amen and amen. Praise the Lamb of God. That's all I got for you.